Our Father, we thank you. You have heard us. You have prepared my tongue. You have prepared the hearts of your people. And you are pouring forth a great understanding into their hearts today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's quickly run off. We won't take too much time today. If you remember last week, we began to explain some things, which I later on titled My Place in Christ. And yes, the last week was titled Who Am I? All right? And I established one point which I would like to start again from there. If you will open your Bibles with me to the book of Colossians, we'll read extensively from Colossians chapter 1. I want to start reading. Okay, I said I wanted to review something we said last time. Paul was explaining. He said, from verse 9, having said some things that he learned from Epaphras and about their love in the Spirit, from verse 9 he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What I want to understand here is this. He said that we are praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, not just for the purpose of knowing, it says so that you will walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, in which case you'll be able to please him in all respects. Notice that. That is what you know. The knowledge that you are filled with is what determines the manner in which you walk. Do you get my point? So we established that last time, that the way you do things is determined by the knowledge that you are filled with. If you understand, like we said, that there's an evil. Solomon said, I have seen under the sun. I have seen princes walking on the ground while servants were riding on horses. That is, I said, it is likely that the princes did not understand that they were princes. Do you understand the point I'm making there? That what a man is filled with is what determines how he walks. There's a story, I think many of us may have heard about it, that is like, we're talking about folk tales, all right? Now, that there's a man who had a slave that he loved so much, and he treated the man like a son, the slave. So one day they were going for a big occasion somewhere, so he requested of his master that his master should please not tell anybody that he's a slave. And the man said, no problem. I mean, why should I tell them? Why should it matter to them? Okay? He dressed up very well like a son and went with his master for the occasion. And while they were there, they were serving food. The guy got up, went to where remnants were kept and began to eat from there. That is, the master said, you see, I did not tell them you were a slave, but you announced by your behavior that what? You are a slave. Meaning that a man's manner of walking is determined by the knowledge that he's filled with. Do you understand the point I'm making there? That you see, the Bible says, that we read from, I think that was Psalm 80, where was it now? I think it was Psalm 87. It said, they do not know, neither do they understand. Therefore, they walk on in darkness. Psalm 82 or 87? 82, okay. All right, so we read from there, from verse 5 of Psalm 82. It said, they do not know, nor do they understand. So they walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are shaken. It said, I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Now, remember he said that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, there's something you have to understand from there, that it is not just the fact that the people perish for lack of knowledge that's the issue. And I want you to go there. Okay, where's that lack of knowledge story again? Hosea 4:6, right? Okay. Okay, so quickly open to Hosea 4:6. I want you to note something there. It said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, that's not just the issue. Notice the next line. It said, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. I want you to understand this, that it was not the fact that the people are just destroyed, that their destruction is not just for lack of knowledge. It is that they rejected knowledge. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. That you see, the way in which you walk is determined by the knowledge that you are filled with. We established that extensively last time. And that I'm emphasizing to us today that it is not just that somebody does not have knowledge, but it is his attitude to knowledge that counts. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? You know, I was thinking about it while I was getting ready to go out this afternoon from my house. That, you see, it appears as if we have become a show Christianity. You know what I mean by show Christianity? The other day, somebody was telling me that there's one particular church in Port Harcourt. And now, listen, I'm not saying what they want to, what they are doing is wrong. I just want to use it as an explanation. And that they were budgeting 27 million naira for a show to bring CC Winans from the United States to Nigeria. And I said 27 million. Now, get my point? I have tried not to be a small-minded person. And 27 million naira for a show is not too much. Except that I wonder whether the same churches spend a million naira for teaching seminars. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, it's not just that we don't have knowledge, but that we have what? Rejected knowledge. I was thinking recently that when I was in university, as in the early days, at least in Nigeria, of the Word of Faith movement, that what mattered to people was not show in church. You know, we're on campus, we're young people, but what was our driving force was the knowledge of God. In fact, when we wanted to sin, our sin was in being proud of the knowledge we had. Do you understand my point? That the iniquity we committed was being overbloated with knowledge. So you hear people use expressions like, don't mind those sense knowledge people, that we are revelation knowledge people. But what I want to bring out is this. But at least the emphasis was on getting knowledge. Are you getting my point? You see, those days before I got married, I remember that I felt that one of the greatest gifts I could give somebody was a passport to enter my library. Because by that time, I gathered a small library. I mean, I had tapes, plenty of them. All right? Scores of audio tapes, scores of books that they were mine. You understand my point? And I felt like if I told you I loved you as a young woman, then the sign that I love you is that you can take any of my books and any of my tapes at any time. I didn't know it didn't matter to some people. Do you understand my point? I thought everybody loved the things that I loved. The first time I visited the woman all of you now know as my wife, then she was not a woman, she was just a young woman, you know what I'm saying? Just a girl, all right? I remember the tape, the gift I took along was her birthday. It was a tape and a card. Can you remember the tape? I think, what was that tape again? Was it this one about Intoxication of the World, I think. Yes, by Bishop David Oyedepo. I traveled all the way from Lagos to Benin to go and tell somebody hello. And I was trying to be, you know, modest, actually. But the modest gift I brought was I dubbed a tape titled Intoxication of the World by Bishop David Oyedepo. I said, this is a gift I brought from Lagos. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Because sometimes when I look at what people do these days, I wonder whether, I don't really know what's happening. I'm just explaining something here. That God is not as concerned about the lack of knowledge as he is about the rejection of knowledge. Remember the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus entered their house. And Mary sat down, hearing the word of God. But Martha was so busy running up and down for Jesus Christ that she forgot the thing that was most important. He said, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I hope you are getting my point. Remember, we have discussed all these things in previous times here. That when we're talking about walking in the will of God, that it is not correct to think that I still read books who say things like that, and I disagree with them. That the way to walk in the will of God as a child of God is to check your spirit and check what the inward voice is telling you. No. Those things don't mean much in reality. Believe me, they really don't. There may be people who operated like that, but that is not standard. The way by which you walk in the will of God is by being filled with the knowledge of God. Are you getting my point? Remember, where did we read just now? In Colossians chapter 1. Paul said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. If you do that, you will find that you will walk in a manner pleasing to him. Remember, I said this all the time. God has not told believers to struggle. The word of God, that is, the plan of God, is for the word of God to take effect in your life by itself. God's plan is this. He said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That is, if you get the truth of the word of God, it becomes flesh in you. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, your very desires become united with that of God. It is not to get to a place and close your eyes and say, what's my spirit saying? Come on, your spirit should shut up and let your heart that is filled with the knowledge of God talk. If you understand what I'm going to say, I'm not saying your spirit shouldn't talk, really. What I mean is that stop disturbing your spirit to talk. Actually, the only thing you hear is what is filled, what has filled your heart. Don't deceive yourself that my spirit, I hear so much of my spirit began to tell me. Before I used to say that, well, I don't believe that their spirit. Now I know it is their spirit. Because you're a believer doesn't mean you can't have a wrong spirit. Are you getting my point? It is actually their spirit, but not the way they are looking at it. They are thinking that it is the spirit of God in them speaking. No, it is what you are filled with that rises up in your heart to give you instructions in what you call your spirit. If you're a covetous man, your spirit will tell you to take a bribe. What your spirit will do, you understand what I'm saying, is to rationalize it. That the wealth of the wicked is yours for the taking. You will start speaking all kinds of spiritual language because your heart is actually corrupt. I hope you are following the point I'm making. Okay, so I'm explaining that. You see, what God expects of believers is that you be filled with the knowledge of God. And when you are filled with the knowledge of God, walking in the will of God is automatic. Let nobody, the problem with people is that we want to come to God in the last moment and say, what do I do here? That's not what God wants. In fact, one of the things that trips my heart these days is when I see young people, like we are here now, gathered around the word of God. You understand? I'm happy. I don't excite anybody. I may crack one or two jokes, but really, there is no excitement promised when you are coming up here. Do you understand my point? The best excitement you get when I am talking is that I say something that is funny and you laugh about it. I will not massage your soul, I won't massage your flesh to make you feel happy. I just say what I want to say and I go away. And believe me, I say this all the time. It is not possible for you to imbibe these words and you end up average in life. It is impossible. Get my point. It is not possible. This is the way God does it. He said the word becomes flesh. That is, anything God wants to produce on this earth, he sends it into people by words. Are you getting my point? Listen, if you settle down and fill your heart with God's word, you don't have to try to succeed. Just watch it. Remember that parable I gave earlier when we're doing our radio broadcast? I said, there is a saying in my place. They say, if a young child does not die, he becomes an adult. That is, you can't stop a child from growing if he doesn't die. A child that doesn't die becomes an adult. In the same manner, if you camp around God's word, this is the way it works. The law came by Moses. Steps to success are the law. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. If the word of God enters into you, it becomes a company that people can see. That's what is called the word became flesh. The word of God entering inside you becomes a good husband, becomes a good wife. That's what it means when it says the word becomes flesh. The word of God inside you will take you to the place you are supposed to get to. God said, why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? That is, there is a true bread which God said, come and buy without money. That is, settle down, let me fill your heart. When God wants to bless people, he said, behold, I will give them pastors or teachers after my own heart, who will feed them with what? Knowledge and understanding. Do you get my point? That is, when God wants to bless people, that's what he does. Because remember we said, he told them, go and tell John the Baptist all these things that you have seen. He said, the poor, what happens? They have the gospel preached to them. If I give them the word, they will definitely begin to prosper. Don't ever forget that. So Paul was saying, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God. And if you are filled with the knowledge of God, you will find yourself walking in the will of God. And I explained at the beginning that what Paul was saying, that's where was I reading from? He said, if you are that what you are filled with is what determines the manner in which you walk. And in life every day, listen, people, I mean, challenges tell you things. You know, you've heard this, I think we discussed this here before, that life is full of voices. You get my point? That is, people, things, situations, environments, they are always talking. Let me just say this again. I just had to say it because I like one thing that I quoted for the last time that I heard Ken Hagin said, that where there is no repetition, the people are not established. So that has given me confidence to continue to repeat things. Listen, spiritual things control this earth. I don't mean the witches and the prophets. I mean in your heart. What spirit is being generated from your heart controls what comes upon you in life. Get what I'm trying to say? When people are going to receive anything, the first thing that comes to them is the word announcing certain things to them. Now, let me say what I'm going to say. That is, there are works you have to do to connect with some things that God will do, or that God wants, that or the devil wants to release, whoever is responsible at that point in time. Now, those works don't just come by themselves. What happens is that, first of all, you are filled with something, words. Somebody tells you something. That is why, if I'm ever given the opportunity to become a president, there is no freedom of expression. Nothing like that. There is no freedom of expression. You can criticize, I have no problem. But if your newspaper is always telling them that economy is bad, look, presidents have powers. They can do anything and still not break the law. And in case they break the law, they are immune. Believe me, I will orchestrate the closure of your company. If you abuse me, I'm not going to talk. That one, I will leave you. But even if you were my friend, saying Babake, but you keep on telling people that things are going down, I will close you. I will close you. It's important because if you take away faith from people, they don't do anything. Listen, when those people went to spy the land, 2, Joshua and Caleb, and 10 other spies, why did the whole nation get destroyed? Because 10 spies told them you can't. Look, I will call you. Listen, oh boy, you want to wreck this nation for me? I'll just tell you, whoever is the publisher, that I'm taking it as a personal challenge. You want us to fight? He said, what do you want, sir? I said, look, you can say what you like, but there must be a message of faith in front. I don't mean that God is good. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, you must, and there are enough things around to tell people. I've told you before, that is why Nigerians who will not pilot a plane in Nigeria, we drive a downfall in America. That is, what I mean is that things that they wouldn't even think about doing here, they will do things 10 times worse. Why? Because somebody told them that this is the promised land. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Words are very important. Before God does anything in your life, he releases words. I was explaining that spiritual things are powerful. So if God wants to bring something, what he does is to start feeding you with the word. What comes upon you is a product of what you have believed. It is not the last minute struggles. Remember, we talked about the power of your imagination. These are things that are in your heart subconsciously. You know, first time I heard this, something like somebody is a compulsive loser. I said, how can a man be a compulsive loser? They said the guy likes to lose. I said, it's not possible. Is he sick? I read in a novel when I was a child. It was much later when I had grown up as an adult, I understood that it's not as if he goes there and says, I want to lose, I want to lose. No, he's also trying to win. But at the bottom of his heart is that spiritual force saying, you know you are a loser. No matter how hard he tries, and you see, listen, 2 people can do the same business, one will succeed and one will fail, and they're in the same environment. Remember the explanation I gave before? Once when I said that I read in an article about when Nigerians were not winning 100 meters, that's the gold and, you know, silver in Olympics. that at that point in time, the Bible was trying to explain, but there's a principle that I want to bring out. He said, when you are in the final in Olympics, 8 people going for 100 meters, finals. He said, they are the 8 best in the world. And if you check it, all of them have done about the same thing for the year, the last season. That what determines who wins now is not just the inherent abilities, that there are forces beyond that. That how cool is the guy's mind? What is he seeing? That those are the things that propel him to winning or losing. I remember when Evander Holyfield was going to fight Michael Tyson for the second time. Their rematch after the first one. I remember that the coach, that's Evander Holyfield's coach, said it is not possible that Mike Tyson will beat Holyfield. That it's not possible. He said why? His explanation was that in the pre-match conference where they meet the press and everything, he said he noticed that Mike Tyson couldn't lift up his eyes to look at Holyfield in the eyes. He said, this guy has lost this match. For whatever reason, Tyson's spirit couldn't carry victory in that match. The man looked at it before the match and said, Holyfield has won. That this match is over. And you know the rest of the story. Are you getting what the point I'm trying to make? Of course, Holyfield beat Tyson. What I'm saying is that what you hear, what you believe, what you have come to accept is what will control your life. If somebody lied to you and unconsciously you believed it, that they said there is a generational curse in your area, you had better fight that imagination with all your might, because it will bring a curse upon you. Not because you are cursed with a curse, but because you have believed that there is. Are you getting my point? That's why we are saying these things that we are saying. Everybody must understand what God has made him to be. This is how God does things. God will tell you, let's say God wants to give you this building, as big as it is that we are in. He won't come and start just, walking. He just tells you, I have given it to you. That's it. That you have to start walking with the consciousness of, I have, it has been given to me. God told those people, the children of Israel, he said, I have given you this land. Now go and take it. Do you get the concept? That is, the only reason why a short, relative to the giant, a short man like Caleb, we as an 80-year-old man go to Joshua and say, give me the permission, I want to go and take this mountain, was because he knew, he said, look, 40 years ago, Moses said, that is your own. I know that God has given us this land, and of the inheritance of this land, this portion is mine. Says, so this fact that I'm 80 years old does not mean anything. My strength is the same as it was 40 years ago for going to war, for going out and for coming in. So Joshua said, go and take it. And the man took his sword and went and took it. Why? Because he knew it had been given to him. Are you getting my point? That is, your knowledge of what has been given to you determines how you go and take what is yours. You know, remember what we discussed last time? People who wake up in the morning, which wizard? They're always rejecting everything, I've been with people where somebody mistakenly splashed water on them and they started rejecting the water splash. Why? Because they came back from church where they told them that the ways by which spells are cast on people, different ways, sprinkling of water and all those kind of things, and you're walking and somebody did something. Maybe the person was really splashing water on you, I don't know. But if it was me, I would just clean the water off as if it is just water, which is exactly what it is. He said, there's witch inside. The witch just died. You understand what the point I'm making? No, the witch just died at the contact of that water with my skin. How do I know that? I am filled with the knowledge of his will. Are you getting the point I'm making? If you are not filled with certain things, you cannot do the right things. Let me go over that again. In life, remember, we discussed what we call God's champion some times ago. We said that if God wants to bless a generation, he sends a champion and a savior. We studied from Isaiah chapter 19, that it is using that person that he delivers them.
But that this man will come out and face challenges. That is the way life is. This person will come out and face challenges. But he must know ahead of time that he has been armed to face the challenges. That he is indeed armed and, remember the word, dangerous. You are getting my point. That's why God would look at Jeremiah and say, listen, you are going to go where I tell you to go. He said, I have made your forehead stronger than their own. Now, that is, you don't have to feel like it. Just know it as a fact. That if it is, you know, you've seen two he-goats fighting before. Two billy goats. You know the way they do it? It will reverse. Gidim, boza. God said, Jeremiah, don't worry. Just close your eyes and run and charge at them. If you hit them, they are the ones that will die. Are you getting my point? That is, in life, when you want to do business, people will sit down and tell you why you will fail. Now, you know, remember we said that then, that, you see, imagination is not just that, okay, I have chosen to imagine that I will succeed. No, you must have a reason. You must have information. Hope or expectation is built upon the information that you have. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you won't say that, I'm not a failure. I just reject it. Most people who go to places rejecting things have taken double what they have rejected. Why? Because you don't just reject by rejecting. You reject by knowledge. Do you understand the point I'm making? Did you ever hear Abraham say, I reject. I rebuke you, Satan. You ever hear Abraham say that? Father of faith. No, think about it. Did you ever hear Abraham at any point in time, father of faith, saying, I reject you, Satan? No. Do you know why? Whom resist steadfast in your faith? Steadfastness of faith is resistance to Satan. What is faith? That God has told you something that you are standing upon. So this, how did he reject Satan? King of Sodom said, take it. He said, I don't want. God has said, he will make me rich. I don't want you to say, you made me rich. Simple. It's a simple fact. And the guy walks around, you know, we have too much words. Don't let me say understanding. Our words are too plenty as Christians. It is where it is well. Meanwhile, you know, it's neither well, nor do you even think it is well. But it's a language of church, it is well. Abraham didn't speak all those big words, but he understood something. Are you getting my point? A father of many nations I have made thee. I hope you're following what I'm trying to say. Now, this is just, again, laying a foundation for the things that we are discussing. I said we are discussing what we call my place in Christ. And let me just go over it. Well, no, not go over, but let me introduce that one properly so that we can focus exactly on what we want to discuss. What I have said so far is to bring out the point that if you don't know, you will get cheated. Are you getting my point? That if you are not aware of what your place is in life, you will get cheated. That is one. Number two is that spiritual things control the physical. Remember the example I gave last time? When I was explaining some things, that if God says that he has made you something in the heavens, what that means simply is that what I have made you is unshakable. Hurricane Katrina can't shake it. Rita coming shortly after cannot shake it. That's what it means when he says in heaven. If he says you are seated on the right hand of God with Christ in heavenly places, what it means that your seat cannot be shaken by the hurricane on the earth. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that when you die, you will find that a throne has been prepared for you. Maybe it's true, but what he's saying is that, look, whatever God has said concerning you, it is established in Christ, it's unshakable. You understand why the Bible says, he that has believed will not make haste. What it means is that he doesn't run to and fro, chasing after what God said will come to him. Are you getting my point? It's important we understand this because as we go on, we'll be saying things that we appear like spiritual. You understand my point? You know, those days they will say that, look, leave that one. Let us get practical. And I always say, faith is very practical. Do you understand my point? The knowledge of God is practical. When people tell you, let us be practical, what they mean, let us dismiss what God has said. Are you getting my point? If I tell you that death is not an accident, it's a spiritual fact that it is predetermined. Again, today I was thinking, sometimes they will tell you that somebody has a disease, so he will die young. I said he will not die young because he has the disease. The disease was manifested because he was ordained to die young. I hope you are understanding my point. Look, let's not put the cart before the horse. What the person should go after, therefore, is the knowledge of God that guarantees long life. Then the disease becomes irrelevant. And if we find out that the word indeed becomes flesh, the disease begins to die off. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That the spiritual things are manifested in the physical realm. So you can almost predict what the spiritual things have determined by watching the manifestation that's already been released. It is not as if the outcome is inevitable because of the manifestation that we have seen now. No, it is just that these manifestations tell us the things that have been determined in the realm of the spirit. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? Is it making sense to you? That is, if God says something and he said the thing is in the heavens, what it means is that it has taken over on the earth. Do you get my point? It means that it is not dependent on what earth says. If it says you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, what it means is that even if you were to go to Rwanda, you are still blessed. And that blessing will show up in Rwanda. That's why he emphasized that the fact that it is in heavenly places. Because the backwardness of the Congolese economy cannot affect the thing in the heavens. Do you understand my point? That is why nobody can ever tell me that the reason why I'm not making progress is because I am not in a particular country. No, it's not possible. Look, if I can't prosper in Nigeria, because, and the reason is because I'm out of God's will. Alright? Even though I go to America, I will not prosper. However, if the will of God was in Burundi, and I relocated to Burundi and entered into God's will, do you understand my point? The fact that the Burundian economy is not as good as the Nigerian one does not change the fact that I will begin to prosper when I get there. Do you get my point? That is, if I can't prosper in Nigeria, I can't prosper anywhere, really. Really. Because the Nigerian economy is on the earth. My blessing is spiritual. You understand that point? We discussed that last time. So when we emphasize, look, Paul said, your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, seek the things that are what? Above. That is, seek to understand what God has said about you in the heavenly places. Listen, those things are real. Look, I am so happy that I was trained in medicine, so I know what I'm saying. What I'm like, you won't think I'm talking as an ignoramus. No, it's true. If I tell you viruses are nothing but manifestations of spiritual forces, believe me, I know what I'm saying. I'm aware of the anatomy of viruses. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Yet, I can tell you, they cannot kill a man that God has not killed first. Do you get my point? There is no disease. AIDS cannot kill a man that God has not first killed. It's not possible. That is why Paul emphasized, even though the body is subject to death, and that is because of sin, he said, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit will give life again to your mortal bodies. That is, it is a lie if somebody tells you that you are genetically determined to be ill. It is not true. It was true before. Get me? There are two creations. There is the first man, Adam. There is the second man, Christ Jesus. Good. I haven't made that statement. I think I can connect what I want to say. Now, go back to that book of Colossians, chapter 1. Let's see some things. I want to continue from where we stopped. It says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. It says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Notice this, please, from verse 12. It says, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I wanted to stop here, but I need to read some things so that you can get one deep truth. It's very, very important.
Now, talking about this beloved son, he said he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Notice that. Notice this. That is, there is nothing physical, there is nothing, even the spirit, that is not subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, get what I'm trying to say. That is, even if he's an Ogoni, even if all the witchcraft in Haiti, they are subject to Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? That 100 Ogonis, 100 is small, the whole clan of them in Nigeria, as God lives, cannot scare me. Why? Because whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all have been created through him and for him. He is before all of them. Verse 17. And in him all things hold together. Notice this. He said, okay. Now, we understand what we are saying here. But apart from this, that is the way he is, we know. He said he's also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Notice verse 19. He said, it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Notice the next line. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Now, there's one point I want to bring up from here, but let me go on what I'm saying earlier. No, please, give me a moment. Because I don't want to read everything, okay? We'll still come back to this later, but let me try and connect this so that you don't lose what I want to say. Paul said a lot of things in this portion, so I just want to distill out what I want to say now, then we'll go back to the rest later. Verse 25, he said, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship of God bestowed on me. That was Paul speaking. For your benefit. So that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. What is the preaching of the word of God? What word of God is it that I'm speaking? He said, I am saying that I'm preaching the mystery, verse 26, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now, what is that mystery? That is Christ in you, the expectation of the hope of glory. It said, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Notice this. He said, the same Christ is the one through whom all things were created, that all dominions and thrones are subject to. He now said, that same Christ now dwells in you. That means there is an expectation of glory. What does glory mean? This is a simple thing. Glory is the opposite of short of glory. Pardon my English. I hope it's okay with you. What does glory mean? He said, all have sinned and have become short of the glory of God. Now, listen to what that means. Listen to this very attentively. There was something that Jesus said at a point. That's John chapter 14. He said, I will not speak much to you, for the ruler of the world is coming. Let's just go there, please. Let me read the whole thing. John chapter 14. Now, this is very, very important. Because I want to explain something about that glory. He said, the ruler of the world is coming. He has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Now, what I want to understand here is this. If you read 29, he said, I have told you. Now, if you go back from the beginning, he was saying that I will not leave you as orphans. The world will know you. A little while, the world would no longer see me. He was describing, in effect, the crucifixion that was about to take place. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, he now told them, where we're reading just now, he said, the ruler of this world, that is Satan, is coming, and he has nothing in me. He said, but that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Earlier, in verse 28, he said, I have told, verse 29, I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. What was he saying? That the kind of thing that's about to happen to me, it only happens when judgment comes on people. Now, get what I'm trying to say. That is, there is what the Bible calls the devil that has the power of death. Death comes as a result of what? Sin. He now said, remember the people that they pulled the Tower of Siloam fell on. What did Jesus say? He said that, do you think they are the greatest of sinners and all that? He said, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Meaning what? They died for their sins. I hope you have heard what I'm trying to say. He told them that was the wrath of God. There was the wrath of the king that came upon those that were, that Pilate mingled their blood with that of their sacrifices. He said they also died for their sins, because he said, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Something similar was about to happen to him. He said, this is when the ruler of this world comes upon somebody. He said, but in my case, he has nothing to hold on to. That was why they had tried him several times to kill him and they did not succeed. Are you getting the point I'm making? He said, but you have to understand that I am laying down my life of myself, because that is the will of the Father. I'm trying to bring out a point here, that what he experienced actually was worthy only of a sinful person. And he made that clear. That the ruler of the world coming shouldn't have this ability to do anything to me. It is just because I am obeying the commandment of the Father, because I love him so. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm bringing out the matter of sin. That there is, look, that the troubles of this world came as a result of sin. That is what I am coming to. And the Bible says that is why men are short of God's glory. That is, troubles, calamities, everything comes upon mankind because they are short of the glory of God. They become subject to witches and wizards and ogboni and everything because they are short of the glory of God. He now said, listen, all the principalities. Believe me, demons hold people in bondage. When Jesus came, he told the parable. He said, listen, that except a strong man, he said, if a strong man guards his goods are safe. He said, but when a stronger than him comes, he binds the man, takes away the armor in which he trusted, and then he plunders his goods. What was he saying? It was in response to how do you cast out devils. What am I saying? Satan was a strong man that had bound people. Yet, according to the ordinance of God, everything is subject to Jesus Christ. I hope you are getting this long calculation I'm doing. He was saying, therefore, that if Christ is in you, Satan is too small. He cannot bind you anymore. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is what he was saying is this. That he first described the person of Jesus Christ. That in him all things consist. That he was before all things, all thrones and authority there. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is what he was saying is this. That he first described the person of Jesus Christ. That in him all things consist. That he was before all things, all thrones and authority, they are subject to him. He now said, please God to use that same Jesus to reconcile all of you back to himself. He now said, this is the expectation of deliverance from all your troubles. Christ inside you. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That's why we titled this, My Place in Christ. That is, you understand that failures and troubles and all this harassment of devils, they are beneath you. Do you understand my point? That is why, listen, if somebody, I've told you before, no matter the molecular biology you have studied, when you are explaining my troubles to me, I'm just looking at you like, you are the one that is confused, not me. Take my genes and analyze it all you like. One thing I know for sure is that all of the knowledge is subject to Christ. And if Christ is in me, it makes nonsense of the predictions of science. Listen, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This is the point he was making. That is, if anybody steps into my light,
every deed of darkness, we have no power over him. You understand why Christians are absolutely confused when they spend all night praying against enemies, witches, wizards, misappropriating the blood of Jesus. You know what I mean? Yes, yes. Blood of Jesus against my enemies. You are, let me watch my tongue, but you are jobless. No, God doesn't have that time. Blood, you know, you hear all kinds of things. Somebody said, let us pray against Satan. For what now? Let us torment the devil. I have too many things to do. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, the fact is that Christ dwells inside me. Let me tell you what God is saying. Every time somebody explains a principle, and they say, there's one Iroko tree in your village. They have not yet uprooted it. Tell them you don't have time. If they like, uproot it. If they like, don't uproot it. If it is important to God, the thing will catch fire. Do you understand my point? There is no Christian that is subject to generational curses. Listen to what I'm saying. The restraint that was placed upon generations before you does not apply to you. I told you there are two creations. There is the first man, Adam. That was what you were before you gave your life to Christ Jesus. He said, if any man is in Christ, there is a new creation. Actually, that's what that thing said literally. If any man is in Christ, there is a new creation. That is, Christ is the firstborn of the new creation. Anything that Christ is not subject to, the man who has given his life to Christ and is walking steadfastly in the faith, according to Paul, is not subject to it. Do you get the point I am making? That is, demons don't see you and you know and hang around like, oh boy, what's happening? You are not mates. And some people say that they are cast out every demon from this house. Listen, demons don't live inside my house. I don't care the stories you have heard or told. Demons can only live there if I invite them. Like, demons come now, I won't drive you. And they say, are you sure, sir? And they start, you know, they are afraid. Do you get my point? I was reading the other day in the paper, they said they went to harass some Ayilala. I don't know what's Ayilala, somewhere in my state. That their shrine, there's too much accident around there. I'm not saying it's not true. But listen, if I drive by, they go on break. You understand the point I make? They'll go on break that Ogade pass. That this one, we have nothing in him. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, all the problems in life are a result of sin. Listen, Satan needs a hold on people. And God condemned the first creation by the sacrifice of Jesus, that anybody who believes in Jesus, he is no longer a part of the first creation. Believe me sincerely, I believe in the gospel of divine health, not only to cure malaria, but to heal hereditary diseases. Are you getting my point? Because he said, if the body is subject to... Oh, let's go there. Romans. Chapter 8. Listen to this. He said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Let me explain something about the word Christ. Somebody said there is a difference between Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. Now, that is deep theology. But I understand what the man is saying. That is, when you say Jesus Christ, usually you are talking about the person on earth. That's Jesus the Messiah. But if you see the emphasis Paul laid, check most of the time Paul spoke, he spoke about Christ. He wasn't speaking about Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because I want to talk about that. He didn't say Jesus in you, the hope of glory. He said Christ in you. There is a difference.
In fact, I believe when he says Christ Jesus, he was telling you that the same spirit that was in Jesus on the earth is what I'm talking about. When he uses the word Christ, you know what he was saying? That the whole of solution that God had prepared, it's now, listen, it's now in a spiritual capsule. Do you follow my point? That is all God's solutions to mankind, for mankind, is in a spiritual capsule that was produced by the sacrifice of Jesus. Are you getting my point? There was, don't let me go into all those details, but God needed a human being, mankind, to pay a price for the redemption of the souls of men. And Jesus did that. And everything he achieved, God uses one word to describe it. That word is what? Christ. Do you understand my point? That is why Jesus can sit at the right hand of God in heaven, but Christ can be in you. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That Jesus is seated on the right hand of God in heaven, but everything that he's sitting represents can be inside you. That is what he calls Christ. Do you get my point? So he was saying here, he said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ, first Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? That is everything that sin brought to this earth. Every trouble, corruption that sin brought to this earth is called death. There is a principle. When the Bible talks about law, it wasn't talking about the laws of Moses. The law of sin and death means that, for example, there is a law of gravity. Everything that goes up must come down. There is a law of sin and death called the wages of sin is death. Is a law. That is, every time you do something not according to God's perfect order, you are subject to death. Death is the spiritual force that makes everything go wrong. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, if you find that a marriage is not working, you find that a business is not working, you find that somebody's health is collapsing, that is what is called death. Do you understand that point? If they tell you that somebody inherited a genetic disorder, that's what is called death. Do you understand my point? It said there is a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It works above the law of sin and death. That is, though there is gravity, if I power my plane, kick the engine and take off on the runway, gravity becomes irrelevant. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now look at what he said. Verse 9. He said, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, let me first read it and I interpret it. Though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. That does not bring out the meaning of what Paul was saying. Let me read it properly to you. He said, though the body is subject to death, like we're explaining what death was, which comes because of sin, he said, yet that spirit of Christ will give it life because of righteousness. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the body that was subject to death takes life when the spirit of Christ enters into it. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. That is, Sarah was 90 years old. When the spirit of Christ, because it is not now it began. Remember, the Bible was talking about Christ. It said he was before all things. When that spirit contained in the word of God entered into Sarah, King saw her, an elderly woman, and wanted to kill to collect her as wife. You know, people said that Abraham had never seen anybody raised from the dead when he believed that God would raise Isaac. On record in the scriptures, there was none. But I said, in reality, he has seen one. He said his body was as good as dead. God quickened it. Are you getting my point? Listen, it is a reality that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. You know, you can imagine how irritated God must be in heaven when Christians sit down and gather and grumble about what the economy is going to do for them, to them. That our children are dead is a lie. believe me, even though the economy is subject to death because of sin, yet when you step in, listen, you are God's champion, you are God's messenger. When God wants to rejuvenate an economy, he sends people that have life into the place. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what Paul was saying when he said, Christ in you is the expectation of glory. Glory does not mean that when you draw a photograph of Mary in a photograph, you paint a halo over her head. Holy Family, all their heads shining. That is not what glory means. So. You know what, want to know what glory is? A widow, that is, she had no husband, was passing with her only child dead. That means she had nobody to help her anymore. And then glory went there and said, young man, I say unto you, arise. That is, her problems have just ended. That is glory. Whether his head shone or not is irrelevant. You are getting what I'm trying to say. Glory is where everybody said you will fail. You succeed there. That is glory. I hope you are getting my point. When they say that you will die, you say, I will live. And they say, I was so sure that this guy will die. I told you a story of one brother who told me that they fired a gun at him, and somebody told him later that he saw when they killed him. That I was there when they killed you. The guy said, don't worry, the bullet didn't touch me. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Glory is money. Look, Christianity is not about film show. You know, once people are falling down on the stage, people like to go and gather. That man is anointed. It got to a time, preachers started looking for how to give you thoughts so that... No, I'm telling you the truth. Because the wrong perception is that glory is how much people physically misbehave when they are around you. Listen, that can be a manifestation of glory, but that is not what glory is. Listen, if 1,000 people sick enter a place and you lay hands on them and nobody even feels anything and 1,000 leave the place healed, you know it's more important than what they felt. What am I saying? Christianity is not about show. It is that whatever be the problem, especially in a place like Nigeria today, that people have subjected themselves to one of the smallest principalities of life, economy. You know what I'm trying to say? That they will tell you that government is the reason why we cannot progress. God said even government is subject to Christ. And Christ is in you. That is the fact, that is the reason why you should not fail, though the economy is not doing well. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, Christ is in you, is indeed the solution to all your problems. But remember what we said? They know not, and they don't understand. Therefore, they walk in darkness. Let's go back to Romans. Did I say Romans? Colossians chapter 1. There's something I want to read here. It said, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, he said, yet he has now reconciled you. Notice that in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond your reproach. Look at the way he qualified it. He said, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which we proclaim in all creation, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. What am I saying? Remember what we said some time ago? Isaiah chapter 2. He said, God, why is it that your people have not experienced your glory that you have created them to have? He said, because they have made... How does it go again? Isaiah chapter 2, quickly go over there. Please, let's quickly go over there. It will help me to just say what I want to say. Isaiah chapter 2. Remember, he said he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we are supposed to walk in that light. He now said in verse 5, Isaiah chapter 2, "Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people," that is, they are not experiencing this glory that Christ is to them. Why? Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. They strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Notice that. The reason why glory, listen. If you read Isaiah chapter 40, God said it like this. He said, "Just make the path straight. Make the road plain. Then the glory of God will be revealed." Do you get the point I'm going to make? That is, yes, this is what God has made you in Christ Jesus. But he said, why is it that people don't experience it? He said, because the path of flow of the glory is not smooth. Why is it not smooth? He said, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. That is, they begin to talk like unbelievers. That kings, princes that are supposed to walk on horses, they come and start talking and say, horse. Horse is not for people like us. In fact, the horse is too tall to climb. In fact, last time one of my friends tried to climb the horse, he fell down. I was there and he broke a hip. So princes would not climb a horse because 10 of the spies told them they are not able. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, people scare them away from their inheritance by words, and they believe them. Listen, I have said again and again, God, all these things I've said, God never created you to try to make them work. All he's saying is that stop making them not work. Do you get my point? That God said, if you come against a man deep in the occult, don't try to learn incantations. Just be looking at him. You understand what I'm trying to say? That I will rise up as your defender. I will show you that his gods, they are not God. But God said, do you know the problem I have with them? At such times, they start running, looking for who will pray for them. They start looking for what to anoint themselves with. Day two, they refuse to sleep. That they said, because the devils on the altars are not sleeping, even the child of God too should not sleep. He said, in peace I will lie down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. They don't read that. God said, the reason why the things I decreed for them don't work is because they are talking like the people that are not in the covenant. Remember what I said about Satan? That except you invite him into your house, he cannot enter. That's why Peter said, don't give room to him. That is, if you don't give room to Satan, he doesn't have space in your house. Are you getting my point? That is, the believer has a responsibility to stop hindering the glory of God. I have noticed that you cannot hasten God's glory. You can only hinder it. If you remove the hindrances, the glory is fast. It comes forth by itself. I mean, a believer wants to get a job or enter a business. All he's saying is, you know all the big men, they have cornered everything. God said, you see? He's talking like, he said he's filled with influences from the east, from the newspapers. And he has become a soothsayer like the Philistines. What are soothsayers? They predict what tomorrow will be. Is that not so? He said, he's talking like them. Say, I cannot, because the big men have taken it over. God, you see that? You are ensnared by the words of your mouth. He said, because you say we can't enter, therefore your carcasses will lie down inside this wilderness. Why? Because you said. That is, Caleb said, God has given it to us. And that is my portion of what God has given. There are giants, it's irrelevant. If God is with us, they are meat for us. Their defenses are departed away from them. Do you get my point? Oh, because of time, let me begin to round up. I have not taken too much time yet. I haven't. Oh, come on. Although we started a bit late, so I'll still try to round up. There's something I want you to read, which maybe that's where I will continue from next time. Let me just introduce it now. Open your Bible to Revelations. There's something I want to bring out there I want us to see. Chapter 12, verse 10. He said, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night.'" Notice verse 11. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death." That's New American Standard Bible. I want you to understand one principle here. They overcame the accuser. He was thrown down. And there was a principle by which they overcame him. Number one, because of the blood of the Lamb. And number two, those two I want to emphasize, because of the word of their testimony. Listen, everything we call Christ was purchased. Let me explain what I'm going to say. Everything we call Christ was purchased by Jesus, by his death on the cross. Are you getting my point? That is, when we say Christ, we are saying the whole of the power of creation and redemption made available to mankind. Are you getting my point? And that came as a result of the shedding of blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus himself. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. Now he said they overcame him. There was something I said earlier, that the Bible says that he has delivered us. Let me go back there just for a moment. I want to just explain something. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, "Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body," verse 22, "through death." Okay? Now, I'm trying to bring out a point. There's something I want to read quickly. Let me see whether I can find it quickly. But what I'm bringing out is the fact that sin is what brought death. Do you understand my point? But the shedding of blood took away the sin of mankind. If anybody is of faith in Jesus, his sins are forgiven. I'll get to that again next week. Let me just introduce this today. Now, he said they overcame Satan. Remember we said that if there is no sin, Satan has no hold. He said they overcame him because, I like the way my Bible uses the word, it said because of the blood of the Lamb. Which means that blood washed indeed away their sins. The reason devil would have had to hold on to them. That is one. He said, because of the word of their testimony. Now, one thing you have to understand is this. I told you earlier, everything around you speaks. Are you getting my point? Everything speaks. Sometimes people like this pleading the blood of Jesus. Now, I understand that God is very merciful and he understands what you mean. But if you want to analyze it correctly, you can't really do that like that. It really doesn't have much meaning. And that's what I want to understand. He said they overcame him by the blood. But notice the word. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. And what? Because of the word of their testimony. That is the way by which you overcome. Using the blood of the Lamb is not by taking the blood and, you know, shouting the blood. Just follow me closely. Remember I said everything around you speaks. Remember that? Situations speak. Experiences speak. What you feel speaks. People around you, they speak. Your friends, they tell you things. Your parents, your pastor. Everybody tells you things. And the word of God speaks. But there's something I want you to understand. Please, I hope you are following me. Please, just try, okay? Oh, there was something that Paul said, which is what I wanted to understand here. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, "We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and myriads of angels, and all that, and all that." Jump to verse 24. He said, "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood." Notice the word. You're not looking at your Bible. It says, it speaks. Are you getting the point I'm making? That the blood also speaks. He said, this one speaks better things than the blood of Abel. That's what I'm coming to. That the blood of Jesus also speaks. And people who overcome by the blood of Jesus overcome by saying the same thing that the blood is saying. Not by being soothsayers like Philistines. That is, if they are going to experience glory, then they must talk the way the blood is talking. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That I said that the blood of Jesus is what procured everything that we call Christ. The blood of Jesus is speaking. The Bible said it speaks. I mean, it's not my invention. You can see it here. Oh, it didn't strike you that it speaks. Now, I'm not laying my emphasis now on what he said, but the fact is that what? It talks. The blood of, what's his name? Abel. Was crying out for vengeance. Blood speaks. Remember last time we were talking on our radio program? I said, David found it compulsory that the speech of certain bloods be quelled. So he commanded Solomon to kill Joab. That Joab shed the blood of warriors in cold blood. They were not fighting. The man came in peace. Yet, Joab killed. Anyway, next time I will continue, all right, from that particular point. All right, I will continue from where the blood speaks.